If this message, I don't know what's wrong with me, guys, but it's not coming out. One, two, three. If this message is not for you this morning, the day will come when it will be for you. Psalm 107. If you don't need this morning, the day will come when you'll need it. Now get me down just a little bit. Psalm 107. Three places in this chapter, the word trouble is mentioned. You know why young people usually are a little more wild and crazy and do stupid stuff? You know, to party and live it up. And older people don't do it as much? Because young people are really, really dumb. And they don't know, they ain't got enough sense to figure it out that when enough trouble hits your life, you'll quit stupid stuff like that. You get enough trouble in your life, you'll learn. Get your head knocked in a few times, you start figuring it out. You can't do this and get away with it. And trouble comes to all of us. One time, one way or the other. You're going to have trouble. It's not if, it's when. And the Bible said here, look at 107 verse 6. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. Look at verse 13. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of all their distresses. Almost identical, or not identical. Look at verse 19. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. Three times in that one chapter, God said these people had trouble, and they called Him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm speaking to a select group here today, but all of you will eventually need it. And I want to preach this morning on three things to remember when trouble comes your way. When trouble comes your way, I want to remind you of three things. One of the most illogical, ridiculous, false beliefs or concepts of Christianity today is this assumption that if you're right with God and saved, you'll never have a problem, you'll never get sick, you'll always have everything, and things like that. They misapply Old Testament promises to Israel and try to give them to church people in the church, and it don't work. Example like, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on Egypt. That's a promise to Israel in the Old Testament, not a Christian. You can't say that if a Christian gets sick, they can automatically every single time be healed. I'm not saying there's not a principle there. I'm not saying God don't heal. I'm just saying some of the greatest Christians in the world have suffered immensely and a lot during their life and never did get healed. And like the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. You hear that quoted on TV by TV preachers. And they're saying, see there, God don't want them wicked people to have all that money. He wants us to have it. Well, that's a verse that doctrinally will fit one of these days, but not now. If the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, them poor people in Sudan must really be backslid. I mean, they don't drive a new car, and they're getting their heads cut off and persecuted. No, they're not. Truth is, their life would put ours to shame in most cases. Now, the truth is, in this age, in the church age, we're going to have trouble. We're going to have trouble. That word troubles is where we get our word tribulation, T-R-I-B, trib, like trouble, a thing that they beat wheat with and separated the seeds in wheat or the wheat, when they would beat it like that, that's trouble, just getting beat and beat and beat. Now, God's people have always suffered unbelievable agonies. Job, in the Bible, found himself on the ground, covered with boils, lost 10 children in one day, lost his means of making a living, his cattle, his sheep, everything was taken away from him, just like that. And the Bible said, Job sinned not neither charge God foolishly. So you can't say Job was backslid and the reason all that stuff happened to him. That's just the way life is. Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. You know what that verse means? If you build a fire right here and light a fire, sparks flies up. If you build another fire right there, set it on fire, sparks fly up. If you build 10,000 fires, sparks fly up. And that's how sure it is that man has trouble. As the sparks fly upward. I don't enjoy talking about it. I don't, but I'm telling you one thing. It's a fact. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 8 said, you know, we can rejoice and have a good time, a big time, but let a man remember the days of evil, for they shall be many. The Bible said there, talking about God's saints, Paul suffered all through his life. Peter was crucified upside down. The apostles, almost every one of them died a violent death except for John. And they tried to boil him in oil and he wouldn't boil. And they put him on the Isle of Patmos where God gave him the book of Revelation. And they all suffered violent, terrible death. Now, when you have trouble, I believe there's people here having trouble this morning. No doubt about it. There's probably somebody sitting here this morning, your heart is broke. There's people sitting here this morning, you have just lost a loved one, or you've just gone through a separation, or divorce, or the doctor told you, he sent off some things to run tests on, and it could be bad news. You're hurting this morning. You're hurting. You're who I'm talking to. I want to give you three little things right quick. Number one, when you're going through trouble, don't ever forget this. Write it down in the flat front part of your Bible. Number one, I want to remind you that God has not forgotten you. Amen? God has not forgotten you. Listen, old Job, when he had trouble that time, he laid out 10 caskets. There was his kids, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I don't know anybody that's ever lost 10 kids in one day. And old Job was over here like that, and there he looked, there was his oldest, there was next to the oldest, there was the next to the oldest. There was next to the oldest. There was next to the oldest. Man, you think that didn't hurt? You think his heart wasn't coming out? You think it didn't feel like you ain't got no appetite? You can't eat. You can't sleep. You don't think he was hurting bad? And the devil showed up right then. And brother, the devil is over here like that, you know. And boy, he said he's going to cuss. He's going to cuss. Just curse God and die. Curse God and die. God forgot all about you, Job. Don't you know the devil was whispering in his ear? That's what will happen to you. When your heart's broke and your wife leaves or your husband walks out on you or something like that, the devil will say, God don't care about you. God's forgot all about you. And the devil's over here. I can see him. I can see him hid over there in them flowers. He hangs around them funeral homes, trust me. And he's over there and all them people are laying out there dead. And Job's heart was broke and he was crying. And the devil peeped through one of them bushes like there and said, why don't you just cuss God and die? Just cuss God and die. Just cuss God and die. How many of you have ever heard that voice late at night when you was all by yourself and you didn't know what you was going to do or where you was going to turn to or you was going to have a job or you was going to have a marriage or even a place to live and you didn't know what was going to happen in his life? And old Job turned around there and looked at that day, and boy, old Job looked up and he looked up like that, and the devil said, he's going to cuss. He's going to cuss, and I'm going to get him. He's going to cuss. I've got him. And old Job, every nerve in his body strained out, his heart hurting with all that was in him, strictly by faith, not by feeling. Job looked up, and he said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. He said, shall we not receive evil at the hand of God, and not just good only? He said, God's blessed us a lot. We're going to have some hard times. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's what you got to do right there. You got to remember God ain't forgot you. He still knows where you're at. Thank God he knows your telephone number. He knows your zip code. He knows your address. He knows what you're going through. And I'm telling you this morning, God ain't forgot you. God ain't forgot you. I talked to a lady one day. We was out on visitation. I talked to her. And she's sitting there like this. And I said, ma'am, you all right? And she said, no, I ain't all right. And she was about tore all to pieces. She said, my husband. She said, it's been 2 years. She was still tore all to pieces. She said, my husband met some woman at work, and he took off with her, and they went to Florida. And she said, I ain't got nobody. She said, I'm sitting here by myself. And she's sitting there grieving herself to death because of what her husband done. You know what I had to tell her? God ain't forgot you, sister. Listen, God ain't forgot you. If you're in that situation here this morning, let me tell you something. God knows where you live. He knows what you're doing. You say, well, why don't He just fix it? I'm going to get into that here in just a second. My first point is, God has not forgotten you. I know there's young people. We have kids right here in our church today. We had one that went to camp with us, teenager, just the other day. This young lady said, I don't want to go home. We'd been to camp all week. She said, I don't want to go home. We said, why? She said, all that's going to happen, I'm going to get yelled at by my dad, and he's drunk. She said, the last time we went somewhere, I had walked several miles to get home, and daddy was drunk and cussed me out. And listen, you know what a teenager does? A teenager lays down at night like that, and the devil said, ain't nobody cares about you. Your own family don't like it. You don't have no friends. You're not accepted. Nobody cares. You ain't got a boyfriend. You don't have a girlfriend. Nobody cares about you. I got good news for you this morning. Let me tell you something, teenager. God ain't forgot you. God ain't forgot you. There's a girl told me one time, she's 14 years old. She came to my office. She said, Brother Danny, she said, my uncle lives with us. She said, my uncle and my daddy get drunk every single night. She said, when they get drunk, my mom works third shift. My daddy passes out. She said, my uncle comes in my room. And she said, he scares me. And she said, he hurts me. And she said, I'm scared of him. And she said, I've tried to push the dresser in front of the door so he can't come in my room, but he's strong. Can you imagine? 14 years old. Pushing that dresser, prayed that uncle's going to come in and molest her over and over and over. You know what I told her? And hey, let's don't kid ourselves this morning. There's kids sitting in here right now that are going through things like that. Right now in our church here today. I'm telling you, kids, God hadn't forgot you. God's right there. He's watching you. His arms are around you. He cares about you. Thank God this morning, God hadn't forgot what you're going through. The Bible said He remembers. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 6, He said, are not five sparrows, little sparrow birds, sold for a farthing, and not one of them is forgotten before God. God don't forget one sparrow. If you sell five sparrows, collect five birds, sell them for a farthing, that ain't much money. And He said, not one of them. If one little bird falls on the ground, God remembers it. You think if God don't remember a bird, or He doesn't remember a bird, He's going to forget y'all? He ain't going to forget y'all. He cares about you. I know the reason teenage girls commit suicide or attempt suicide so much is they think, nobody don't care about me. I'm telling you, the Lord cares about you. He cares about you, and He proved it when He died on the cross. You say, well, Brother Danny, why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to live like this? Other people's got it made. I live in a literal hell. I'm telling you, the Lord hadn't forgot you. He hadn't forgot you. One time they had this earthquake in this little village, and a bad earthquake, and the whole building shook and everything. And they asked this old woman, they said, wasn't you scared? She said, no. And they said, why? She said, I rejoice that I've got a God that can shake the world. Now, you know what? God's in control, people. He's in control. He has not forgotten you. Matter of fact, David said, when my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. He can be your best friend. Man, I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning, but I got a burden. There's a teenager. There's a young person here this morning. He can be your best friend. You say, I'm scared to tell what's going on, preacher. Listen, you tell it to him. He knows all about it anyway. He cares about you, and he hadn't forgot you. You remember that. Number two, write this down in your Bible. I don't usually ask you to do that, but you're going to need it one of these days. I said, number one, when you're in trouble, God has not forgot you. Number two, Romans 8:28 is still in that book. Romans 8:28 is still in the book. You say, what is Romans 8:28? If you've been going to church long at all, you know what Romans 8:28 is. Romans 8:28 said, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Lord in mercy, how many times has that been claimed? How many people has that got through a hard time? How many people walk in the halls of a hospital and waiting on the doctor to come out have claimed that verse? How many people have went out to the early graveyard for one of their kids and looked up and said, Romans 8:28. How many preachers have lost half their church members and had church splits and felt like just giving up and claimed that verse? How many mamas have walked the floor and wondered why daddy went out and borrowed all the grocery money gambling? And mamas walked the floor and claimed, for all things work together for good to them that love God. Now look at that verse. It said, all things work together. Work together for good. Make sure you get it right. I have heard people stand up and say, well, we don't have to worry about it because everything that happens to us is good. That ain't what he said. Everything that happens ain't good. I've even met people, some nuts that think, I've heard people say, well, you're supposed to thank God for everything. You know, man, I'm telling you, we was out here working the other evening right out there, and John had the weed eater, and he was over here, and I had a chainsaw, and I got up on that bank right over there, and I was whacking them trees down like that. I mean, I cut about 50 of them, about that big around, and I was cutting them with that chainsaw, and I was having fun doing it. We played ball out here for a while, and then we cut weeds. It's the only way you can give me a time to play ball. And and we was cutting them weeds like that, and all of a sudden I felt like somebody stuck a knife in me right there. Ow! And I got in a hornet's nest or something, and then one went pow right there, and then one went pow right there on my ear, and I could feel it. And that thing, he didn't just sting me; he stuck it down in there and was drilling. And I went like that, and I could still feel him on my ear, and I went pow like that. And I had his stinger on my finger. I'm telling you, Lord, it felt like somebody shot me. I mean, them things was mean. Is it my imagination or are bees awful bad this year? I've been more bee stung this summer than I have in years. And I throwed that chainsaw down, and I got in the Holy Ghost there for a second. I'm telling you, I took a shouting spell, and I said, Lord, in mercy. And I throwed that thing down, and it hurt all night. It hurt. And it swelled up. It still itches right there. So if you see me scratching, I'll laugh. Now, I did not throw that chainsaw down and say, thank you, Lord, for those bee stings. You don't thank God for everything. The Bible said, in everything be thankful. See, in everything you can be thankful. You can't be thankful. You say, well, my wife left me. Well, no, I better not say it like that. You might thank God for that. Normally you would. You don't thank God for it. You thank God in it. Shut up. Listen, I'm telling you, brother. You say, that's just, I wish that. No, hush, hush, hush. You're missing the point of the message. I'm telling you, the other day, I was telling Corey sent me a text, and she was just kidding. We were just kidding back and forth. She sent me a text. She said, Daddy, will people be married in heaven? Because, you know, and everybody asks that question sooner or later. And I said, no, honey, people will not be married in heaven. We are the angels of God. I do believe you'll know each other and know each other as man and wife and everything, but you won't live together as man and wife like we don't have physical bodies like we have now. No. And I said, if they did, it wouldn't be heaven, would it? And she lied, sent one back and said, ha, 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 then they'll stay married in hell, right? That's a thought, isn't it? That's a thought. It don't say anything about them not being married in hell. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. Listen, I didn't say, thank you, Lord, I got bee stung. That's crazy. You don't thank God for it, but you can thank God in it. If you're going through a terrible time, you don't say, Lord, I thank you, I had a car wreck and broke my fool neck. You say, Lord, I thank you that at least I'm saved and this is going to work together for my good, and maybe the insurance will buy me another car, or maybe I'm going to heaven where I won't never have to suffer again. You thank God in it. All things work together. See, one little piece of the puzzle by itself Have you ever looked at one piece of puzzle? Lordy mercy, you can't tell it's a tree limb. If it's a mailbox, it might be a part of a flower. One piece of the puzzle, you say, that absolutely makes no sense whatsoever. But by the time you get all them pieces, all of them work together for a big old picture. And that's the way your life is. You can't take one incident in your life and say, all right, life makes no sense. Life makes no sense. Well, you ain't seen the whole picture yet. God's making a puzzle, see? And one of these days, when you see the whole picture, you'll say, well, I'll be. The Lord was doing that. The Lord allowed that to happen. And the Lord let that happen. And you'll go to heaven a better person and thanking God and shouting. Listen, if everything went right for us down here, and we never had no trouble and never got sick, we wouldn't be worth nothing for the kingdom of God. Trouble will make you a better person. Who can sympathize any better with somebody going through something but somebody that's already been through something? It works together for our good. Let me tell you something, buddy. I'm a lot more sympathetic today than I was when I first started preaching. And the reason, I've been down the road myself. I know what it's like to hurt. I know what it's like to suffer. I know what it's like to feel pain in the heart and in the body. And brother, it works together for our good. Think about it. They said years ago, these bunch of sailors is out in the war, and they were lost. And their ship was lost. And all their wives were left on this one island. And they prayed and done everything in the world and said they'll never come back. And they got word the ship was lost at sea. And they cried and cried and cried. All the women were crying because their husbands was lost at sea. And this one woman, she was really tore all to pieces. And lo and behold, that night her house caught on fire. And her house burned to the ground. And she thought, God, where in the world was you? My husband's dead at sea. I've lost my house. My house is burned down. God, why is this happening to me? How can that just one thing happen and another thing happen and another thing happen? Why does it have to get worse, worse and worse? God, where are you? The fog lifted. And the next day somebody said, look! And that ship was coming in. The men had been found. And they landed on the beach. And all the men were getting off of the boat, and they were hugging their wives and saying, honey, I'm so thankful you made it. I love you. I missed you. And that one man whose house burned down come and hugged his wife and said, darling, I'm safe. I'm safe. And she said, honey, I'm so sorry to tell you. I love you. I'm so glad you're here. But our house burned. We've lost everything we've had. And he said, no, 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 no. He said, don't be sad about that. He said, it was that fire. The light of that fire that guided us in here, that we'd have never knew where we was at, but we seen the sky lit, and it was that fire that brought us home. And I'm going to tell you this morning, what you think might be a tragedy in your life, when you get down the road somewhere, you'll look back and say, thank God that's the best thing that ever happened to me. Now, it ain't fun while you're going through it. As a matter of fact, when you get older, and you start getting down to the end of life's road, you will probably look back at the hardest time in your life and say, that's when God used something to mold me, to make me. You know, you hardly ever grow during really good times. Well, you grow when things are going hard. You grow when you're hurting, buddy. You grow when and you got to get on them knees, and you got to fast, and you got to pray. Now, I don't like it, and I'm sure I got more coming, but I'll tell you one thing. I know Romans 8:28's in that book, and I know, brother, it'll work together for my good, and I know, brother, that God's in control, and nothing can come our way that He don't allow to come our way. That's worth shouting about, people. Amen. Paul's sweetest epistles was written while he was in jail. Imagine one of these TV preachers nowadays. Lord have mercy. Coming on there. It's just wonderful today. It's just wonderful. Air conditioned, Coke machine, everything here, Cadillac outside, chauffeur. Lord have mercy. Man, hey, you know when Paul done his best? In jail. You guys nowadays have somebody drive them around. Like that, I think about that English lady I heard old Ruckman say the other day. He said, real fancy. Here's how people care about themselves. A real fancy lady in England said, drive the car off the cliff, James. I'm committing suicide. James said, what about me, man? and that's our generation. But anyway, you know when Paul, you know what old Paul did? I mean, he's hurting, brother. He didn't have nothing to eat. John Bunyan, you ever heard of Pilgrim's Progress? Pilgrim's Progress is probably the third most important book in the world. The Bible, number one. Fox's Book of Martyrs, number two. And Pilgrim's Progress, number three, as most influential in Christianity. And John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress in the Bedford jail, people. In jail, when you're hurting. I preached some sermons several years ago, and one of them was, it'll all come out in a wash. And the other one was, failure is not final with the Father. And the other one was something like, the worst thing was the best thing. And somebody said, Brother Danny, where'd you get them sermons? I got them when I was hurting, brother. Got them when I was hurting. You don't get those kind of sermons when everything's going good and your bills are paid and you're healthy. You get them when there's pain. Romans 8:28 said, all things work together for good to them that love God. I could tell you story after story of stuff like that. Somebody said, help me to see sunshine through rain. What I count loss may somehow be gain. Help me to sing when I want to cry, knowing that Thou, Lord, are standing by. I'll say this and I'm through. One more thing. Write this down. I said, number one, God has not forgotten you. I said, number two, Romans 8:28 is still in the book. Number three, this too will pass. This too will pass. You know, this is not the way it means it. You ever read the Bible said it came to pass? It came to pass. What that means is it happened. But, you know, if you can twist that around a little bit and still not do no damage, it came to pass. It didn't come to stay. It come to pass. All your trouble, it came to pass, brother. It ain't here to stay. Amen? Amen, brother. You can put a selah on that, I'm telling you, brother. No matter how long the night, the day finally comes. No matter how bad a winter it is, summertime finally gets here. I'm telling you, thank God, if you're a Christian this morning, no matter how dark the tunnel, no matter how hard you got to work, no matter how long you have to suffer, no matter how many bills you've got, no matter how many times you have to go to the hospital, no matter how many surgeries you have, no matter how many times you've had to go to court, no matter how many times you've fought and prayed and begged God, I'm telling you, it'll pass. It'll be over one of these days. Hallelujah. In the by and by, glory to God, we'll never have another problem then. No matter how long. Usually, what we thought was our biggest hindrance and worst problems will turn out to be the source of our biggest blessings before this thing's over with. Old Hudson Taylor, that great missionary, he said one time, he said, I'm so weak I can't work. I can't read my Bible. I can't even pray. I can only lie still and trust. Sometimes you get like that. You know, you can be hurting so bad you can't pray. I remember when I tore my knee, I tore the ACL ligament out in my knee. I'm too little to hurt myself. I fell every way you can fall. But two people fell on me that way. And it went out like that, and I felt it. It felt like a rubber band just went. And I thought, I'll be all right. So I sat down for a minute, and I got out there and tried to run up and down the floor like an idiot. And I tried to run, and my knee would go like that. That's what's wrong with Elvis right there. He had two of them like that. But I remember my knee, it would go like that. And I went, whoa, something's wrong. And they took me to the hospital. Then I went to the doctor the next day. I didn't go to the emergency room. They ain't no use running the emergency room every time you got a fever blister, people. You're making it cost a lot on all of us. Well, people got a booger in their nose. They run to the emergency room. There ain't nothing they can do for me that time of night. So I took the Tylenol, went to bed. Next day, went to the doctor, and they scheduled me the appointment. I went and had surgery, and Sunday, they give me something. I don't know what it was, but I couldn't pray. I said, Lord, that's it. And I thought, God, and that's all I could do. I said, okay, I know now why God don't want you to take drugs. They cut you off. They cut you off spiritually. I believe that. I believe it. And I mean, I don't even know what it was. I think they gave me a shot of morphine or something. I couldn't pray. It's like I mean, somebody else walked in, doctor said, how you doing? I'm hurting real bad right now. I could talk to him, but I couldn't talk to God for some reason. Drugs cut you off from the Lord, people, if you abuse them. There's you something to think about this evening. If you're taking drugs you don't need to take, you better throw them away today and leave them alone and don't take no medicine unless you have to have it. Unless you have to. I got to thinking. I thought, my goodness, I can't pray. There'll come a time in your life when you can't even pray. All you can do is trust. All you can do is trust. That's it. Read you this when I'm through. Trust Him. When the dark doubts assail you, trust Him. When your strength is small, trust Him. When it seems to trust Him, seems the hardest thing of all. Trust Him. He's ever faithful. Trust Him. His will is best. Trust Him. Will you trust Him then? Cloud and sunshine and all thy cares upon Him cast. Till the storms of life are over and the trusting days are past. You know what to do when you're having trouble? Number one, remember God ain't forgot you. Number two, Romans 8:28 is still in this book. Number three, this too will pass. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Our heads are bowed. Eyes are closed this morning. No one's looking. No one's moving. She's come to the piano softly this morning. Can I ask you a question? I don't know who you are this morning, but you're suffering. Are you a Christian? Do you know if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven? Do you know you'd go to heaven, or would you go to hell? Teenager? You're going to die one of these days. I mean, something's going to get you. Young man, young lady, you let God speak to your heart this morning. Wonder, if you got a need here this morning, just slip out of your seat. Come on. Let's lay it on this altar today. Come on, right now. You say, Brother Danny, I'm going through a hard time, and I need to just put it in the Lord's hand. That's right. Others, that's right. Come on. I don't know what your problems are, and I can't fix them no way. But I know one that can. I know one that can help you, and He will if you'll let Him. Come on. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved, why don't you make that step here this morning? Get your heart right with God. Come on. Come on, right now. Just get out of your seat. Young man, don't be a sissy all your life. Take a stand up for Jesus Christ. Amen. You stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. You ladies, pray with this lady, please. Let God speak to you, will you? Let God speak to your heart. Let God speak to your heart this morning. Come on. Come on, right now. Whatever the need is in your life, would you come? Would you come? Amen. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. Whatever the need is in your life, will you come? Just put it on there and say, Lord, I can't do nothing about this mess I'm in, but I believe Romans 8:28, and I'm going to claim it, and I know it's still in the book, and I'm going to live by it, and by your grace, die by it one of these days. Hallelujah. The Lord will help you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for every single person in this room today. Lord, I don't know who's hurting this morning or who's suffering. Dear Lord, I pray that You'd bless them. I pray that You'd help them. I pray, oh God, that You'd lead them, God, to the rock that is higher than I. I pray this morning they'd look past me, they'd look past Shining Light Baptist Church, and they'd put all their trust in Your hands. Lord God, please help them this morning. Help that one that's discouraged get back on fire. Help that one having marriage problems right now, whoever it is. Help that person who's lonely, who has to live alone. Help that person, Lord, who's lost their job, who's afraid of cancer, who are afraid of a heart attack. God help them to realize this too will pass. And one day we'll be in heaven, never get sick, never get sorry, never be in debt, never have another trouble. Thank God it'll be over one glorious day. Have your way in our heart. Bless everyone this evening. Meet back with us tonight. Give us a great service in here tonight. I pray for Holy Ghost revival to come in our hearts and our families, our church. Thank you for what you've been doing and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray and for His sake. Amen. Amen. All right. Some still praying this morning. Just before you go, appreciate you being here this morning. If you enjoyed church, say amen. Now, what you got here this morning was worth coming for. And it'll help you. One of these days, down the road, you're going to get in trouble. And you'll say, now, what'd he say? What'd he say? That's how to handle trouble when it comes your way. And it is coming. Maybe before the day's over. So let's honor the Lord. Do right. Meet back here at 6 o'clock this evening now. We'll have something real good. Got some more singing coming. And, boy, we're excited about it. These young people are still fired up. And we'll get them up here maybe tonight. And we're excited about that, okay? All right, let's bow our head, be dismissed, be back 6 o'clock church tonight. And Brother Wayne, you dismiss us. Everybody fellowship before you go and meet back with us this evening. Let's pray.